Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The following hadith is hadith number 172, also narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the harm caused by an animal has no requital, and the wound caused by falling in the well or in a mine has no requital for it, and there is 1/5 in the buried treasures. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that there is no requital for what an animal does. And this is not our topic, but it is in the hadith, so we have to go through it briefly. What is meant by this? It is meant that this animal has no brains. So if it wandered and caused some damage, scholars differed whether the owner should pay for that damage or not. And we know that if you made something harm that needs to pay compensation for it, that you must pay for it. So for example, if I make an accident and it's my mistake, I'm obliged to pay for the repair of the other person's car because I'm the one who did that. Likewise, if I break something, I have to pay for it. Now, when it comes to animals, scholars differed and they have a lot of discussion regarding this topic. Yet, the most authentic opinion is that if an animal wanders in the morning time, in the daytime, and he eats from a farm or he eats from crops, then this is not the owner's mistake. But if he does this at night time, then the owner has to pay for that. Why? They say that the habit and the nature of animals and herds to go and look for food in the morning. And in the daytime, it is the responsibility of the farm owner or the responsibility of anyone who has goods to take care of his goods. So if he doesn't and the animal comes and eats from it, it's his mistake. At night time, it's a different story. At night time, you're obliged to keep your animals in their barn, in their place, and the goods owner or the farm owner, he has to go and sleep. So he leaves his goods unattended on the account that there are no animals to come and harm it. Likewise, the Prophet says, if a man falls in a well or in a mine and is injured, the owner of the well or the mine is not responsible. And also scholars elaborated on this. And they said, if a person has a well in the way of the people and someone walks and falls in it and breaks a leg, who's responsible for that? It is the owner of the well. Why? Because he made it in the middle of the road and he did not take the precautions to protect people. But if I hire a man to dig a well, and this man is old enough, he's mature, he's a professional, and there is nothing to hide, I'm not cheating him. Or if I hire a group of people to go and dig a mine for me and extract gold or coal or whatever, and all the conditions are normal, and they go in, they do their job and they die. They fall, break a bone or a leg, they die, the mine collapses. Is the owner of that mine or of that well obliged to pay for the compensation? The hadith states that he is not. There is no requital. Why? Because it is not his doing. I've hired someone to do something and that person died. Why should I pay for it? It's like when I hire a driver to drive my car and he makes an accident and dies. I should pay for his blood money? Definitely not. But if I cheated him, in the sense that I told him the mine is safe, there's nothing to fear, everything is fine, everything is okay, and I know that it is not. I don't warn him and tell him that beware of this section or of that section. I don't give him the necessary precautions and I throw him, then I am responsible. If I get someone who is not mature enough, a child for example, and I have him work in such a dangerous place and something happens to him, I am responsible because this is something that I should have warned him or at least taken the necessary precautions. Then the Prophet says alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith, and there is 1/5 in the buried treasure. If you recall, the zakat goes as minimum as 2.5% up to as high as 10%. You remember this regarding the gold, the silver, or the crops that come from the ground. We have not spoken about the livestock. Now, in this, the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, there is 1/5, and 1/5 is about 20%. So the scholars say that the treasure, you have to pay 20%. But what is a treasure? Scholars say treasure is not like what we think, that any money you dig out, the savings of people or something, that we call this treasure. The treasure has to have the markings of pre-Islamic era. If I find a marking that is recent, or if I find a box with rupees in it or with dollars in it, should I call this a treasure? No, this belongs to the owner. So do I know the owner? If I do know the owner, I have to return it to him, the owner of the money, not the owner of the location. If I don't know the owner, then it is to be treated as a luqatah. And what is the definition of a luqatah? Anything that you find on the ground, unattended, then you may take it and you have to advertise, you have to announce, you have to publicly tell people that I have found something of value. Of course, it would be quite smart not to say what you found, because then immediately you will find 1,000 people coming to claim it. You don't say, I found a watch of this maker, the color is so-and-so in that place, because immediately you will find people coming to you. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, announce it, and you should know how it is tied and the color of the bag it was carried in, the description, because then I would say, I found an amount of money. Whoever lost it, come and call me. They call me and I say, okay, how much did you lose? The man says, no, how much did you find? I said, sorry, this doesn't work this way. Tell me how much you lost. He says, 5,000 rupees. Yes, this is true. Where were these rupees? He said, in a wallet, a green wallet. And the wallet I found was brown. I said, sorry, it's the wrong one. So you have to know the description so that whoever comes within a year claiming it, you have to give it to him. If no one comes, the money becomes mine. So the treasure we're talking about, it cannot be something that was recently or that belongs to a Muslim. It has to have the markings of the Roman Empire, for example, or something that goes pre the Islamic era. And whoever finds it has to give 20% of it to the treasury of the Muslim country, which is not similar to zakat. It is similar to al-fay, which we give the fifth to Allah and His Messenger and the poor, etc., etc., etc. So scholars say that this is not zakat. This is considered as sort of treasure or booty that takes place without any fighting or with fighting. So whatever you have to give 1/5 of it to the treasury. And this means that you don't have to, you're not forced to pay the 8 categories of zakat mentioned in chapter 9, verse 60. Also, scholars say that whoever finds it depends, because if I'm having someone working in my grounds, for example, in my land. And the one I'm paying him, the one I've hired, he's the one who found it. So who owns the treasure? The owner of the land or the man who found it? Scholars say, if I hired him to look for it, I am the owner. But if I hired him to dig a well and he found it in my land, he's the owner. So this is what scholars say in a nutshell, but it's important to know that it is not part of the zakat. It's a chance in a million maybe, or maybe in a 10 million, or maybe in 100 million that you find such a treasure. And likewise, if you hunt for treasures in islands or under the sea, it's all pre-Islamic, and that means that you can take it. A question that may rise in some of your heads is, what about oil that we find? Is oil considered to be a treasure? And the scholars say, no, it is not considered to be a treasure. It is natural resources and it belongs to the state to be spent in the welfare of their citizens. This treasure must not be paid in the 8 categories. It should be paid in the welfare of the state. Because we know that there are 8 categories that you cannot give zakat except to them. But this treasure, you can spend it in building mosques, in building schools, in paving roads, etc. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.